The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Glad to have you in on this Wednesday morning. We have a lot of questions, of course. Yesterday, we spent a good bit of time about treatment of the coronavirus, and there's been a lot of discussion about hydroxychloroquine, why it's not being used more widely. In some of the cases that you read about, it seems to be very effective. Wanted to have Dr. Nina Radcliffe in for a few minutes. Dr. Radcliffe is a practicing physician, and she has a reputation of being able to kind of break down complex medical issues into easy-to-understand facts. She's a researcher, a writer. Dr. Radcliffe has written hundreds of articles, medical reviews, and opinion pieces. I want to welcome Dr. Nina Radcliffe to the Morning Answer. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. Thank you for your time this early in the morning. I appreciate you being with us. The big question, Dr. Radcliffe, is there light at the end of the tunnel? What are you seeing in the data and with patients that you're seeing? What are you seeing, say, a week from now, 2 weeks from now?
Well, there's absolutely light at the end of the tunnel, but we're right now in the middle of everything. We're starting to see good news coming out in New York that there's a decrease in the number of new cases, and there may be even a decrease in the number of deaths. So they may have reached the mountaintop, the apex, but we have to keep doing what we're doing, which is social distancing and maintaining good hygiene. We have to squelch this, and we don't want to lose the gains that we've received because of this good news. We don't want to become lax with it.
Sure, and that's easy to do. You do hear a bit of good news, and that is good news with New York, but it's so easy to get lax in social distancing. I was talking a minute ago. You know, our governor, Henry McMaster, here in South Carolina, he just issued and he's not even really calling it a stay-at-home order. He's calling it a work-or-home order. Now it's pure semantics, of course, but, you know, he's just resisted, giving that order. But, do you see that these stay at home orders, shelter in place orders, whatever you want to call them, do you see that they're really effective?
They are effective. And we have to look at places like Washington State or Oregon or even California. When the outbreak started there, they immediately issued these types of orders. They went to their communities and they felt that was important. What we've seen is that didn't spread the way it did in New York. It didn't spread the way it did in New Jersey. And they're even returning ventilators back to the national stockpile so they can be utilized in other areas. So we have to look at examples where it worked. Even Italy, we need to look at that. They were one of the hardest hit. They had the worst mortality in the world. And because they had that very harsh lockdown, we're starting to see some improvements over there in the northern part of Italy. There's a decreased number of deaths. So we have to see that when we put these measures in effect, they do work. And now the rest of the world, we're looking at New York and New Jersey, the rest of our country, we can learn from that. We don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like that in South Carolina. It hasn't had the outbreak. It's not a hot spot at this time, but we can prevent that from happening by doing these wise behaviors, these wise measures.
Yes, yes. Dr. Radcliffe with me this morning on the 94.5 The Answer guest line, Dr. Nina Radcliffe. A lot of discussion taking place about the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine. First, your thoughts on this as a treatment, and do you believe it should become more widely available for treating COVID-19?
Well, we have to look at where this information came from. And the information came from China. It was a small study of about 30 people where they said it was effective, especially if you add the antibiotic erythromycin. And so they said everybody improved essentially in this thing. And so we are questioning some of the other data coming out of China, but we want to accept this data? So we have to wonder, is there a bias looking for good news? Why are we accepting one and not the other? And I'm not saying it's not possible, but we have to look at it very critically. There was another study in France that said, it didn't really work. And now we're doing a study at Henry Ford. So this is where it comes down to. We're in the middle of a pandemic. People are sick. They're suffering. They're losing their lives. Do we wait for a randomized controlled trial that can take months, maybe even a year or 2 years to see if it works? That's where the question is. So does everybody need to be taking this in the country to prevent it? No, we have never shown that to be effective. And also, many people will recover on their own. Some people are not even symptomatic. One in four people don't even have symptoms. So should they be taking these medications that do have side effects when they can recover on their own? And should they be using up what our stockpiles are when other people who are very sick or who may die could benefit from it? So we don't know. So to say everybody should be taking it, should be more widely available, I think is the wrong way of looking at it. People who are in the hospital, who are sick enough to need to go to the hospital, that's a discussion that they need to have with their doctors. And if we use it wisely and judiciously for those people who are sick, and they believe that there may be a benefit, and then the risks are minimal compared to the benefits, that might be worthwhile. So it's not a panacea. It has not been completely proven. We cannot take that glimpse of hope and expand it and glorify it when it hasn't been proven.
Right. But, Doctor, and there's been a number of different cases. For example, just yesterday, widely publicized, the Michigan state legislator who was very ill, and she had to literally take her governor to task because her governor had banned the use of it in the state of Michigan. She was able to get permission to do so. She believes it saved her life, and she gave President Trump credit for it because she said she heard him talking about it. That's what gave her the idea. In cases like that, what's the downside of someone who literally is facing death? What's the downside for them to take this drug?
I agree with you. When somebody is that sick, there can possibly be a benefit. And so that's when we can apply that, we can use that. And that's why it's important that only the people who need it are getting it, because we only have 29 million dosages at this time. If we can use that for the people who are in the hospital, who may be needing to go on a breathing machine, or who are on a breathing machine, where that's their only hope, while we're waiting for the body to fight it off, then yes, I think that's a very wise decision to make. And this kind of mirrors the whole idea of right to try, which President Trump passed soon after he came into office, where people who are terminal can try drugs that haven't been proven or in the middle of clinical trials, but they have to sign waivers for it. And so this is a similar situation where somebody is so sick and they're facing death that this may help, and it is worthwhile. But again, it comes to the point where a lot of people are using it before they even get sick.
Right.
They're
right.
Using it prophylactically to prevent it, and that's
sure.
Foolish.
Yes.
Or people who are who may have been exposed, but they're able to recover at home, that they're not even sick enough that they have to go to the hospital. Why would you take a medication that can be used for somebody dying? So we have to look at it as a collective good. And everybody, of course, wants to make sure they do everything they can for themselves. The most important thing you can do is to take good care of yourself, to practice social distancing, to practice good hygiene, to also, cover your mouth when you cough and you sneeze, and keep your immune system strong. You want to get your sleep. You want to manage your stress. You want to eat healthy fruit and vegetables. This is a time to take stock of our health. Are we doing the best we can to support our immune system and our health overall? This is a time where we're all been told to stop, pause. Our health is important. The world has stopped.
Yes, it is.
So this is a time for us to reevaluate what's important. We shouldn't be hoping for a pill or two or some antibiotic or some anti-malarial drug as being the panacea for this. We really have a lot of power in this.
Yeah.
But that depends upon our choices.
Yeah. On our guest line, Dr. Nina Radcliffe. Dr. Radcliffe, we have about a minute left here. As you just mentioned, we're at home. Most Americans are stuck in their home. Some have been so for a week, 2 weeks, some even closer to 3 weeks. So this is tough. It's stressful. I read a great article you had written about our mental health and dealing with the stress and anxiety. Quickly give us a few tips on how to deal with the stress of this.
Well, first of all, stress can be a good thing when you use it wisely. If it means you're learning about what's going on and you enact measures, whether it's social distancing, that you understand that this could be a threat, the stress can be effective. But it can become destructive if you just let it take over your thoughts, if you don't let it, you don't sleep properly. I recommend, you know, this is the Holy Week. It's Passover this week. You know, we're, you know, following what Jesus did this week. This is a time to reconnect with your faith or connect deeply with your faith. You know, I believe that it's not after the storm, it's during the storm that our faith really shows what it, you know, that's where it presents itself. Right. This is a good time to pray and connect with your faith. This is a good time to look at things that are important in your life, relationships with people, your health, you know, getting more physically active. You know, make sure you exercise. You can exercise at home. You can go around your garden, your yard. You can go for walks as long as that's permissible. There's a number of different things you can do. And make sure you don't get socially isolated. Socially distancing doesn't mean social isolation. You can still pick up the phone and call somebody. And today with technology, you can do video chats or FaceTime. You can even Skype them. You can see them and you can stay connected with them. Make sure you have a good support system, but not people who have fool behavior that, you know, increase your anxiety, that are constantly sweating and worrying. You want to have a good system in place.
Right. That's a very good point, that you don't have to be, just because you're practicing social distancing doesn't mean you have to be isolated from your friends and family. Phone calls, FaceTime, all kind of ways to stay in touch. Dr. Nina Radcliffe, thank you again for your time this morning, and be safe out there as you head to work this morning and seeing patients. And we just appreciate all that our healthcare workers are doing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, be safe.